So our verses is simply Job chapter 5 and verse 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this short reading from his word. The end of life, or the death of the Lord's people, has been on my mind recently. Not because I particularly know of anyone close to us that has died or passed away. It's not that I've been in mourning in any sense at all. Although I did hear of one gentleman this morning who had passed away recently. But partly because it's been on my mind, partly because I've been finishing off the New Focus magazine, and I found a little article which I have used about the final days of four of the Lord's faithful servants of the past, and I've reprinted that in this month's this period's edition. I called it Friends with Good Ends, and it's just a few short paragraphs containing some of the final thoughts and words of a few individuals. Thomas Goodwin is there, Tobias Crisp is there, Thomas Cole and Joseph Hussey are all numbered amongst the people that are listed. And I think you'll enjoy it. I'm sure you will. When you get to read it. I've also been reading George Ella's book, George's book on William Huntington and the Huntingtonians, and I've been noting their emphasis on the testimonies of their fellow believers passing into eternity and the hope that they had, that community of saints. One of the verses that was often used by them was Psalm 37 and verse 37. And that says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." And so these are some of the things that have been in my mind concerning the death and passing of believers. These men and women, these Huntingtonians, they didn't lean on their own righteousness. When it says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace," the end there being the time of his death, they weren't leaning on their own righteousness, but the righteousness that was received by faith, the uprightness and the justifying holiness that comes from being joined to Christ and being united with him in his death and ultimately again in his resurrection. And that righteousness is the righteousness which is imputed by God. And as believers in possession of grace, we understand that we are perfect in the new man. We don't feel perfect in many ways. We certainly don't live perfectly in our bodies, in this world, in this flesh. But in the new creation, Peter calls it the hidden man of the heart. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4 that it is not corruptible. And Paul talks about this also. He says that this perfection, this holiness, was the purpose of Christ's death in order for him to present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So these were some of the things. Another thing that had come to my mind was a sermon, I think I mentioned it before, in the same context, by a man called John Flavel, another old writer. And he preached about Christ's death, and he brought out some lovely thoughts by way of comfort for believers confronting their own mortality. One of the comments that he made was, I think, very helpful. He said that, just listen to this, I'm going to quote him, listen to this if you will. He said that a believer's grave is a bed of rest, yea, a perfumed bed. I think the thought there of the perfumed bed is because when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and then Joseph of Arimathea came and took him from the cross, and Nicodemus, we're told, came and he brought a large quantity of myrrh and aloes and fragrant spices with which they covered the Lord's body and wrapped in the bandages when he was put into the tomb. So the picture there is that there was a very beautiful smell, there was a beautiful scent and perfume in the grave of the Lord. So that's the reference there to the perfumed bed. And he says, Flavel says, a believer's grave is a bed of rest, yea, and a perfumed bed, where Christ lay before us, which is a sweet consideration of the grave indeed. They shall enter into peace, says Flavel. They shall rest in their beds. That's a reference to Isaiah 42 and verse 2. O then, he says, let not believers stand in fear of the grave. He that hath one foot in heaven need not fear to put the other into the grave. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 23, verse 4. And on top of all of that, our Sunday services, are in our Sunday services, we are coming now to the death and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the consideration of which I think in the next few weeks will yield a lot of comfort and peace to us who see Christ's death as representing our own, and his resurrection guaranteeing our own. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And somewhere in all of that, I found this little verse from Job. And I thought I would draw it to your attention again. It reads, Job chapter 5 verse 26, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. The person who said that is a man called Eliphaz. Eliphaz is one of Job's friends and comforters, one of three. And he's perhaps the gentlest, the most considerate of the three as they came to condole with Job in all of his losses and in all of his grief. But the interesting thing about Eliphaz is that he has a very high view of the glory and purity of God, which really is a very fine place to start in our dealings with the Almighty. Until and unless we have a high view of the glory and purity of God, we're not properly going to understand the work of the gospel and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eliphaz says in chapter 15 and verse 16 of the book of Job, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. So this gives us some sense here of the awe and the respect that Eliphaz held the character of God in. He's called Eliphaz the Temanite. And Eliphaz is here in this fifth chapter reminding Job that the grave lies before him, as it does for us all. But he tells him that there will be nothing random, nothing doubtful or fearful in the grave for him, Job, and for all who trust in the Lord. And I'm reminded, just even in thinking about this, how much these Old Testament believers knew and understood of spiritual things. They were in no way our inferior in faith, though they saw the coming and person of the Lord Jesus Christ from a different perspective. And Eliphaz tells Job, what? Was it David who said in Psalm 116, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints"? That's effectively what Eliphaz is telling Job here. It's repeated in the Psalms in a different way, Psalm 116, verse 15. But we're blessed to have such sweet, comforting words supplied to us in Scripture. And this is something which we who are bound by time and who are progressing towards an end-of-life experience, certainly in this physical world, we're blessed to have these kind of verses set before us, these phrases, this wisdom of men and women of past ages and generations who have been people of faith and who have understood the ways of the Lord and have set these things down for our help and instruction and comfort. And they're calming, cheering statements given to us to sweeten our passage through this world and to strengthen our hope as we approach our own death and our own demise. All who live in the Lord must die in the Lord, and our deaths are precious to the Lord. We shall all die, unless we are in that final generation for whom 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will be their experience, those who are alive and remain. But the dead in Christ, they shall rise first, which is perhaps to be preferred. And Eliphaz tells us, "Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age." Now that little reference there to the full age, it might mean that they come at a mature age, but I think it's better, a better thought, to think of it as the appointed time, the fullness of time, as it were. And the sense then being that all of the Lord's people, whether we die in infancy, whether we die in youth, whether we die in middle age, or whether we die in old age, die exactly according to the perfect timing of the Lord, who holds us all equally precious in his sight. People sometimes ask, what age will we be in heaven? Well, Eliphaz is telling us, we will be a full age. We will be complete, perfect, fulfilled, and satisfied when the Lord comes to lay us in our graves and take our souls to glory. And then Eliphaz gives us a simile, a likeness. He says, "We shall come to our graves like as a shock of corn cometh in his season." Now, I did have to look this up just to make sure I got my vocabulary right, but the individual stalks of corn upon which the grain is held, they were bundled together into sheaves, and then the sheaves were stood against each other in like a tent shape to allow the corn to dry. And that tent shape is a shock. In Scotland, we used to call them stooks. of corn or wheat. So that's the shock or the stook of corn or wheat. It's where the individual stalks have been put into sheaves. The sheaves have been laid together in this little tent shape or pyramid shape, and that is what is being referred to here. And the picture for us is, I think, one of fruitfulness. It's the harvest. It's a time of joy. And it's a really delightful way for us to think about the day of our death. Not for the believer is death cold and barren and full of sorrow. Now, there will be sadness amongst those who are left for the loss that they feel, for the emptiness of those who have gone on before. But everything about a believer's death is confirming and fulfilling and joyous. To perhaps misuse the line from the hymn, "We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." But our salvation is nicely pictured here, I think. Because corn just grows. After the sower sows the good seed into the good ground, the seed simply grows without doing anything for itself. The individual seed dies, like the body of this flesh has to die. But a new life bears much fruit. And the sun and the rain and the fertility of the soil, they're nothing to do with the seed in itself. But the fullness of the harvest is of the Lord, who has bestowed all his good gifts in order to nurture and protect and preserve. And ultimately, he sends forth the reapers to gather in the harvest. So when we die, we shall be of full age. We will be absolutely ready to leave this world and enter into the presence of the Lord. We shall be ripe for harvesting, not too soon so that the grain is not properly formed, not too late so that the grain has begun to wither and fall. We shall be carried to a grave and there laid to rest. But even our graves will be houses of slumber and sleep until our bodies are once again required by the Lord. And then the Saviour, who holds the keys of death, shall open our graves and bring forth our dust to be reunited with our souls and forever changed into his likeness. Eliphaz concludes. He says in the last verse of this chapter, look at this. He says, lo, look at this. We have learned this from Christ. He has taught us what to expect. He has gone this way before us. Eliphaz says, hear it and know it to be true, because it is for your good and for your comfort and for your help in this world and in this life. So may the Lord comfort and help us in our own consideration of our own mortality and the day of our own death, and the deaths of those that we love, and may it remind us of what he has prepared for us. Amen.